Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, an outreach of Preparation Ministries, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness and to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church. It is our hope that you will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6, 17, and 18, which tells us to come out from among them and be a separate people. We bring this to you because we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today, I'd like to talk about water and why it is such an important symbol in Scripture. The importance of water becomes evident when you look at the book of Genesis, for the first thing it talks about is the earth being covered with water. God's first act was to create light. The light wasn't the sun, moon, or stars, but light from heaven, for the sun, moon, and stars were not created until the fourth day. It's interesting that the first light was not physical light, but heavenly light. The reason that God gave heavenly light was that what needed to be illuminated was not the physical things of earth, but rather the spiritual things of earth. What God was preparing to do was to show man what the battle was all about. The battle is between good and evil, and not physical things. What God's heavenly light revealed in the beginning was an earth that had no form, no solid ground, no place for man to put his feet. The waters dominated everything. In the beginning, there were two kinds of water. We see this when God creates the second thing. This time, He created a firmament. A firmament is an expanse, an opening, separating two things from each other. In this case, the initial scriptures in Genesis tell us that the firmament was created to make a separation between the waters from above and the waters from below. This was the first thing that needed to be accomplished in order for the knowledge of God to come to man. The waters from above were those waters which give life, the waters from the throne room of God. The waters from below are those waters which drown men in destruction. In essence, waters represent words. They can either be words of God or words of Satan. We know that the waters from above represent the Word of God and that they are pure, for they are true and contain no lie. The waters from below will drown men in destruction because they are the word of Satan, which are lies. All through Scripture, water is used symbolically to represent the abode of Satan. When referring to Satan as the inhabitant of the deep, it calls him Leviathan. The term Leviathan means sea monster or sea dragon, which is just what Satan is when seen from the perspective of being the inhabitant of the deep. The Bible also refers to him as that serpent in the bottom of the sea. The purpose of Satan's lies is to distort the truth. God is truth, and Satan wants to destroy God. If Satan can distort the truth, he can distort man's comprehension of who and what God really is. If man's comprehension is distorted enough, he will not comprehend God and therefore will not know who to serve. The lies of Satan are represented in Scripture as impure waters, which man cannot drink, for they will poison him. He will die. Satan wants his lies to overwhelm man. Symbolically, Satan wants his impure waters to overwhelm man, causing him to drown. Drowning is the symbolic term for being overcome with Satan's lies. His lies create doubt that God's word is true. When man believes the word of God, he has faith. Faith in God is destroyed when the lie comes, for it takes the truth and casts it down to the ground. This is exactly what Satan attempted to do through the crucifixion of Jesus. Jesus was the word of God. He was the truth. Satan would have been victorious except for one small detail which he overlooked. Jesus Christ rose from the dead and became victor over sin and the grave. But this did not mean that the final victory had been won, for Satan's waters of destruction, his impure waters, still exist. He is still able to spread his lies on the earth. Yet there is a limit to the extent Satan is able to spread his waters of destruction. For it says in Jeremiah 5:22, "Do you not fear me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence, who has placed the sand for the boundary of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? And though the waves of it toss themselves, yet they cannot prevail? Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it?" We see that the scripture uses the symbolic expression of Satan's water having a boundary which it cannot pass, no matter how hard Satan tries to spread his lies. Without a boundary to Satan's sea of deception, he would soon overflow the earth once again, and we would find ourselves back to the beginning of Genesis, when the earth was void and without form. If no boundary was set for Satan's sea of lies, they would quickly destroy us all. We see the symbolic representation of water referred to at the time of Jesus' death. It is spoken of prophetically in the book of Jonah, chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. It says, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell I cried, and you heard my voice. For you had cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to the soul. The deep closed around me. The reeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet have you brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God." We know that this story of Jonah points prophetically to Jesus Christ, who became sin for us, giving himself in sacrifice. He knew no sin, yet because he became sin for us, he experienced being drawn down into the deep, the waters of destruction, at the time of his death. The reeds are the grasses growing in the water that wrap themselves around his head in order to pull him down to destruction. Incidentally, the Red Sea, which the children of Israel crossed through on dry ground, was named from the word reed, for it was actually called the Reed Sea originally. As we look at those pictures in the book of Jonah, we see that the great fish that swallowed Jonah is also referred to as the belly of hell. This great fish, symbolically, is Leviathan, that sea monster, Satan himself, as the inhabitant of the deep. He swallows up everyone who dies in their sins. If it wasn't for Jesus rising from the dead and overcoming the power of death, we would all suffer the same fate. We would be swallowed up by Leviathan. There is not one person on earth who has the power in themselves to overcome Satan's lies, for Satan's lies will overcome everyone and drown them in the sea of destruction. But just as Jonah was spewed up onto dry ground, Jesus could not be held in the deep by Satan. Jesus is the only one who has total power over the impure waters, for he is the truth. He is the Word of God. The Word of God can overcome every lie. A simple example of this is the symbolism seen in the story of Jesus walking on the water. The water cannot overwhelm Jesus as it can common man, for in Jesus there is no doubt, only truth. In the symbolism of water, there are bars which keep back the water. The water is essentially imprisoned in its place and cannot escape. When God created the firmament, he actually created a boundary which would keep the lies, the impure waters, from overspreading the earth and contaminating the truth. Satan's lies still contaminate man's understanding of the truth, but they could not contaminate the truth for Jesus. Jesus, as the pure Word of God, as the pure waters from above, could not be contaminated, for he was perfect truth. He could tread on water without being pulled under by the raging waves, for the lies had no place to take hold in him. Perfect truth destroys all lies. Accompanying the example of Jesus walking on the water is the narrative of Peter walking on water. We see that initially Peter was able to walk on water because his faith was strong enough to do so, for he trusted Jesus. He believed that if Jesus told him to come to him on the water, then he could do it. But in the process, the impure waters were being tossed about by the great tempest. When Peter took his eyes away from the truth, which was Jesus Christ, and allowed his attention to be taken by the boisterous wind, the sight of the waves tossing and the wind continuing to blow destroyed his confidence in the word that Jesus had spoken to him. As soon as the boisterous wind and the waves created doubt in his mind, Peter began to sink. This is a perfect example of how the lies of Satan can destroy our faith and drown us in the sea of destruction. Surely, if Jesus had not reached out and taken hold of Peter, Peter would have physically drowned in the Sea of Galilee. It is the same for you and me. Without the truth of God, those pure waters from above that issue out from the throne room of God, we would all lose faith and be overcome by the lies and would be drowned, not physically in the Sea of Galilee, but spiritually in the Sea of Destruction. As we begin to see how God has used the symbolism of water to denote both the good Word of God and also the impure, evil Word of Satan, we can further see the symbolic addition of the merchants and their ships, which are mentioned in Revelation 18. The delicacies of this world are the trade goods of Satan. He causes men to succumb to the waters of destruction by enticing them to his waters with the trinkets of earth. The trinkets of earth are gold and silver, precious jewels, pleasant spices, fancy clothes and automobiles, and anything else which will bring a stimulation to the flesh. Satan sends his merchants out from the Sea of Destruction, and they come to the coastal cities where the goods are traded. From there they make their way throughout the earth and entice man toward the sea. If man gives in to his beast nature, he will go after these trade goods, moving closer and closer to the Sea of Destruction, until finally Satan is able to get them close enough to reach out with the waves and drag them into the deep. And here we see the entrance of another creature, one which is symbolic of man, who loves to be as close to the waters of destruction as possible, so that he can partake freely of all those things that the merchants of Leviathan offer. This is man, as the ultimate animal nature, rather than godly nature, and is referred to in Scripture as behemoth. The word behemoth just means animal. Man's animal nature desires the physical things of this world instead of the heavenly things, the spiritual things of God. Behemoth is described in the book of Job as an animal that loves the swamps and marshlands, the lowlands. God calls for man to stay away from the muck and mire of the swamp and to keep his feet on solid ground. But when man allows the beast within him to determine where he resides, it is like the man who built his house on the sand, and the wind and the waves came and destroyed it. Remember that Jeremiah 5:22 tells us that the sand is the boundary for the sea, that it cannot pass over all the land. But if we make our abode right next to the sea of lies, instead of on high, solid ground, we are at risk from the wind and waves of the great sea of destruction. The animal nature of man is easy prey for Satan. the devil sends his merchants by ship upon the waters of destruction, and they come to the cities which border the deep waters and ply their trade on the unsuspecting inhabitants of earth. Man's animal nature, his beast nature, yearns for the things of this world, and they lure him to his ultimate destruction. The only hope for man is to be born again a spirit man and come to appreciate and love the things of God instead of the things of the world. As long as man desires the things of God more than the things of the world, Satan will be unable to lure him into the deep waters and overwhelm him. But when man takes on that beast nature of behemoth and leaves the solid ground to dwell in the muck and mire of the lowlands and gives himself over to the enormous supply of worldly things found in the port cities of the great sea, he puts himself in jeopardy. For the raging waves of the sea will eventually reach out and drag him down to destruction. This is what the cities of Tyre and Sidon represent in the Bible, and this is why Satan is also referred to as the King of Tyre. Many times you will hear someone say, "I wish I could walk on water like Jesus did." But to walk on water in the physical sense would accomplish nothing of itself, but to walk on water spiritually is a great accomplishment. But to do this, all you have is enough truth to maintain your faith in the face of Satan's lies. If the truth of God dwells in you enough to keep Satan from finding a way to make you doubt, then you can walk on water. What this really means is that in any given situation, if you have enough of the Word of God in you, the devil would not be able to destroy your faith. As Christians, we walk on water every day of our lives. Some days we must admit we are overcome with the waves of doubt, those lies of Satan, which are represented in Scripture by the impure waters from below. And then we begin to sink beneath the waves until such time as we cry out, "Lord, help me," just as Peter cried out. And the Lord reaches out and takes our hand and lifts us up and restores our faith with His truth. The true Word of God, that pure water which flows out from the throne of God, will always overcome the lies of Satan, those lies which have become tainted with impurities. However, Satan knows that if you tell a lie often enough, people will believe it. This is why it is important to dwell on the truth of God. Scripture tells us that we are not to give place to the devil. This means that we are not supposed to give Satan any opportunity to lie to us if we can help it. It's impossible to live our lives without being subject to the lies of Satan, but we don't have to allow that beast nature within us, that behemoth, to control our lives. The animal nature is strong in humans, but God does not want us to live our lives as animals live, for they are without reason. If you use reason, you will come to the conclusion that God is a righteous God, and we were made to shun the beast nature, which only lives for self-stimulation. The beast nature first rose up when Satan left reason behind him and decided that he would no longer humble himself before God. He convinced himself and a third of the other angels that God was not worthy of all honor and praise and service, and that he and they could lift themselves up by becoming like God and even exalted above God. This was the birth of the beast, rising out of the sea of impure waters from below. Man, in his human nature, followed the path of Satan, beginning with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and the second beast rose up out of the earth. It is the same beast, the same nature in man that began in Satan and his angels. Unless man takes hold of reason and comes to the conclusion that God is worthy of all praise and honor and glory, and shuns the beast nature, he will suffer the same fate as Satan. In this life, a man will die a physical death. But if he does not shun the beast nature and become born again, he will suffer the second death, eternal destruction to his soul.
We hope you're finding today's message interesting. If you would like a copy for your own use, please listen after Randy's closing thoughts for our contact information. As long as the Lord enables us, we will provide all of our materials free of charge. Please be assured that you will not be asked for any donation. We believe God will supply our need as He sees fit. God's word is freely given. Now, once again, here's Randy.
The waters from below are to be avoided at all costs. The spiritual coastal cities, represented in the Bible by Tyre and Sidon, must not be your choice of residence. And certainly, no one wants the lies of Satan, and no one runs to the sea to be drowned. But Satan entices man by the worldly goods of his merchants. We cannot completely avoid being lied to by Satan, but we can avoid the temptations of this world, which draw us into the deep waters of destruction. Many people believe that because God created the earth, He necessarily wanted His people to spend their time enjoying it. But God put us in this world as a test for us, to find out whether we truly love Him or love the things of the world. The beast within us, that animal nature, which only lives for self-stimulation, only makes decisions based on emotion and instinct. It is very strong. If we give in to it, it will only make us susceptible to the lies of Satan. Remember that the sea has been given boundaries that it cannot pass, and therefore the ships of the merchants bring the niceties of earth to the place where dry ground starts. Revelation 18 reveals to us what those trade goods are. If you think you can traffic in the goods of Satan's merchants without coming close to the sea of destruction, then you still don't see that the love for the trinkets and baubles of this world will eventually cause you to accept Satan's sea of lies, which will eventually drown you in destruction. If you want to go to heaven, then you cannot be disobedient to God. Jonah is our example of one who disobeyed God and ended up in the belly of Leviathan. If it had not been for God's deliverance, his life would have ended there. It is only when you repent and humble yourself before God that God will deliver you from the belly of that great fish. And even then, you must remember the scripture found in 2 Peter 2, verses 21 and 22, which says, "For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, 'The dog is returned to his own vomit, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire.'" God's people were meant to walk on solid ground, not the muck and mire which borders the great sea of lies. Yes, Satan will reach you to some extent with his merchants, but not anything comparable to dwelling by the sea. Stay away from the lust of the world's things. Stay away from the things that glitter, and away from life's pride, and humble yourself before God. For drowning in the sea of destruction has no future. You can give in to Satan's temptations if you want and go after the trinkets of this world, but all you will get for it is a short time of fleshly delight, and then you will find yourself succumbing to Satan's lies. Our feet were made to walk on solid ground and not in the muck and mire. We have better things to do than spend our time on this earth feeding our fleshly man, for flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. Christians of today have largely come to believe that we can focus our attention for the most part on entertaining ourselves until such time as Jesus returns for us. But we were not put here to entertain ourselves, but to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and followed Jesus to Calvary.
Thank you for joining us for Scripture Beneath the Surface. If you would like a copy of today's program, please contact us and ask for message number 21, Waters. As always, there is no charge for our material, and you will not be asked for any donation. In addition, we will send you the complete list of our messages, which contain such topics as Image of the Beast, Mark of the Beast, and the Rapture. There are several ways to obtain our messages. Just contact us in the way which is easiest for you. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. That's Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. We also have an email address. It is preparationministries@gmail.com. That's preparationministries, all one word, @gmail.com. Or you may contact us by telephone. The number is area code 269-763-2114. That's 269-763-2114. We also have a website. You can find us there under the name preparationministries.net, .com, or .org. Preparation Ministries is all one word. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, and may God bless.